Hi there, it's Wendy Snyder sitting in for John Williams today and tomorrow. John will return in 2024. And I know the holidays are approaching, and I know that we want to talk about good things, but we can't ignore real life. And on October 7th of this year, Hamas attacked Israel. And a lot of people out there think that's where it all began. This has been going on for a long time. There's a lot of misinformation out there. So we bring the expert on the line with us right now. This is DePaul professor, terrorism expert, Tom Makaitis. Tom, long time no talk.
Well, it's usually a good thing when we're not talking because when I'm on the air, it's usually for a bad reason. And that appears to be the case again today.
It is. And, you know, I've often called you my human Prozac because you can calm things over. This is going to be a difficult one for you. But I want to just, if you could give us like a brief timeline. October 7th is not when this war between Israel and Palestine began. This has been going on for many, many years.
Well, it depending on how you want to do it, I want to stress before I give you the timeline that there's no resolving this with an appeal to history. Trying to say whose land is it is like one expert said, plowing sand. It just closes in behind you. But Palestinians would say that it begins, you know, with what they call the Nakba. Well, you can see they say they fled, they were expelled, or a combination of the two, which is probably the reality, in 1948 when the State of Israel was created. The territories that are, you know, if you are pro-Palestinian, you would call them the occupied territories. The Israelis would call them Judea and Samaria, as well as Gaza. But in fact, those were taken during the Six-Day War in 1967. And there was another war with the Arab states and Yom Kippur in 1973. But, you know, in the succeeding decades, the Palestinians began to emerge as the principal representatives of their people. The Arab states were seen to have generally, if not to abandon them, to kind of made some kind of accommodation with Israel. And some of them, beginning with Egypt, have actually made peace treaties. And, you know, the 1993 Accords, Oslo Accords, laid out a plan for a two-state solution. That didn't progress terribly far. But the Palestinian Authority was given the authority over areas of the West Bank. But what happened is in with the Intifada in 1987, the unhappiness with the PLO's, the Palestinians' authority to be able, they didn't even have it at that point, but it's the PLO not making progress. That's when Hamas emerges. And as a, you know, strangely, with almost a tacit agreement of Israel, because they saw it as a counterweight to the PLO. But of course, it's a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, same group that spawned Al-Qaeda and so on. And it chugged along. And then it won the elections in Gaza in 2006. And then in a brief kind of little internecine war, expelled the Palestinian Authority completely in 2007.
But didn't a small percentage of Palestinian people vote? So it wasn't really.
That could very well be the case. Yeah. I mean, the voting was, But on the other hand, they did get, you know, they're a more complicated group than many people realize. But anyway, Israel imposes a blockade in 2007 that's been in place ever since. Now, Hamas charter calls for the destruction of the State of Israel and so on. And they also call for an Islamist state, such as the one that ISIS imposed in Raqqa, and that I don't think very many people would want to live in. But they were seen to as at least being assertive in terms of Palestinian rights. October 7th caught everybody by surprise. The policy of the Netanyahu government had been, hey, you know, let's just bypass the Palestinians, make peace with the Arab states. They were moving with the Gulf states. They were had some a deal in the works with Saudi Arabia. And all of a sudden, that there's this lightning attack comes out of the Gaza Strip and catches the Israeli security forces totally by surprise in this, you know, devastating attack.
Terrible.
And of course, now we're living with, no question. You know, and again, if they had only attacked military installations, you could say this is insurgency. This is, you know, this is resistance violence. You could call it whatever. It didn't mean you agree with it, but you could call it that. But when you're engaging in murder and rape of, you know, and so on, that, you know, that's those are acts of barbarism and nothing justifies them.
And at a, now, course, you know, at a concert, at a music thing, you know, young people, just getting people when they're most vulnerable.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, ideologically driven warfare, you know, results in demonization and dehumanization of the other. How many times have we seen that?
Yeah.
You know, in modern history, you know, and that's what happened. You know, and you know, there were attacks on military installations as well. Now, of course, the Israeli response and the rhetoric coming out of the Netanyahu government has, you know, caused considerable alarm around the world. So referring to them, you know, the Gazans as animals and, you know, wanting to call for, you know, leveling the place and all this kind of stuff. It just, you know, it doesn't, nothing justifies October 7th, but neither is that an excuse for the level of force being used in Gaza now.
Well, that's my question about all this. You know, we uninvolved people just want to see how could there be a ceasefire? How can we stop this? Because bottom line is innocent people are getting killed. And what about this last thing that happened with the hostages that were holding reports of them holding white flags and still taken down by the Israeli government?
That's caused incredible. And it's also important to remember this is a very unpopular government in Israel.
Exactly.
It's only held together with a right-wing coalition. It's also not widely popular among the American Jewish community or other Jewish communities in the diaspora. But there are a number of explanations. The worst would be, you know, is there some kind of shoot-on-site policy? I doubt that. On the other hand, you get young 18 to 25-year-olds, you know, pumped up with adrenaline and everything else and angry to begin with. They were wearing a white flag. They were speaking Hebrew. They had taken their shirts off to show that they did not have
weapons
or anything. Suicide vests. And one of them had red hair, which, I mean, that, you know, it's really almost, you know, there's going to be a real reckoning. And the unbelievable anger of one of the fathers who's been speaking out against the Netanyahu government is incredible. But it's got everybody sort of realizing, and this is maybe working off of that little bit of Prozac, is this has brought to the world's attention that, look, there really is no good alternative to some kind of lasting peace. It's in nobody's interest to have this continue because, as one retired Israeli officer said, you know, if we don't do that, in 5 years, we're going to be fighting their children. This is going to happen again. This is just, you know, the endless cycle of bitterness and violence is not going to go away. So, you know, I that's my one glimmer of hope. There are two peace activists, one on each side, who have worked together. And they said, you know, ironically, there may be an opportunity here. And that's what we can hope for, is that, you know, that people see that. But it's always in everybody's interest to stop the killing. And I think that's why you're seeing this increasing chorus
from
the international community.
Yeah, and it's mostly Hamas at war with Netanyahu. It's the people of Palestine and the people of Israel are just innocent victims in this. We are going to take a break and then Professor Tom Mikaitis is with us. Can we talk about perhaps how this will end? Because that's what I think we need to...
Everybody wants to know. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Tom Mikaitis with us, 312-981-7200. That's the number to call. Just trying to shed a little light on this to get the facts out there because there's a lot of propaganda. Sometimes you don't know what to believe. We have gotten some texts, Tom, that I don't need you to fight my battle, but you definitely have more information than I do, and I need to read some of them because this is what people are saying. All right, 630. Actually, it didn't catch everybody by surprise because Israel knew it was coming years before it happened. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes and no. I think Israel has always expected some degree of violence, but the evidence is pretty compelling that the security forces were caught by surprise. There will be an investigation. But it's remarkably like us on 9/11. They were so reliant on high-tech, you know, surveillance that low-tech beat them. People using hang gliders to come over and simply bulldozing their way through fences. So, you know, there's one thing to have strategic warning, and I think that's where the Netanyahu government may be in real trouble after this is all over. On the other hand, they certainly didn't have any clear warning. If they did, that makes the failure of security even more egregious. The Hamas political leadership was not even informed of this. The Qassam Brigades, which is their military wing, carried this, and part of the reason it wasn't found out is they kept their cards very close to their chest, didn't even tell some of the fighters until the day of the attack.
Please tell Wendy Snyder that it is simple. A ceasefire can happen when the Gazan government stops shooting rockets, releases hostages, and surrenders. And then somebody is also, I'm going to jump on with that, saying they're not all innocent civilians, and most of them support Hamas. Is that true?
Again, none of these things are simple answers. Before that, there was actually a survey conducted just before October 7th. Support for Hamas was falling pretty dramatically. I covered this in an editorial I wrote in The Hill. The problem is with the death toll now over 20,000, people are supporting Hamas just simply out of anger and bitterness over what's being done. The other thing most people are not really following too closely is this has led to an increase in settler vigilantism in the West Bank as well. So, the truth is that the people who are being killed are not the ones who carried out October 7th. And I think that's the thing to keep light of, everybody supported, the people elected Adolf Hitler in 1933. It doesn't mean that Dresden was the right thing to do.
Yes.
That's one way to think. By the way, they didn't elect him. It was a plurality, but still, you get the point. Yeah.
Does Hamas have Palestine's best interest, the civilians of Palestine's best interest at heart? And does Netanyahu have the Israeli people in top of his mind?
I think in both cases, the group's goal, they're clinging to power. I think that's one of the real problems. I think Hamas is, because when you take nationalism, mix it with religious extremism, you have a pretty virulent and toxic mix.
Yep.
And they're fanatic to the point they're not going to surrender. And I think that I can understand. The case of Netanyahu, he's playing this to stay in power. He very much is trying to come across, I'm defying the whole world, I'm standing up to the United States, I'm going to fight this to the bitter end. And no one is really questioning that. It's the way he's doing it. I mean, the U.S., Lloyd Austin was over there. Look, when we went into Fallujah, there's a surgical way to do this that doesn't require the amount of firepower the Israelis are using, but it means you're going to take more casualties. And that's what's being avoided here. You can't use 40% of the munitions being what they call dumb bombs, meaning they're not laser or satellite guided, and not kill civilians in a densely populated area like Gaza. That's simply impossible.
All right. So I know you can't predict the future, but again, I need to go to an expert. You're my human Prozac. Do you see this ending, Tom Mikaitis?
There's a really good article in the New York Times that lays out about 10 different scenarios, but I think the best one I can see is some kind of condominium joint partnership that, in fact, allows for a Palestinian government with some sort of international presence and the Israelis maintaining the perimeter, for lack of a better term. I think the worst scenario is to have Israel go in and occupy it, because all that's going to do is lead to the legacy of bitterness. And the other thing is it's going to have to be rebuilt. Something like a third to 40% of housing is either completely or partially destroyed. The infrastructure, which was held together with rubber bands and, paper clips to begin with, is now shattered. So, this is going to take a massive infusion of aid, cash, and, engagement by the international community. And I think that's the best hope I can offer, is that it's neither a strictly Palestinian nor a strictly Israeli operation. But that's not going to be easy to do. But I think it's the best we can hope for.
And that's it. That's all we have is hope. I just hate hearing about all the people dying. I mean, I'm sorry. I have no skin in the game here other than innocent people are dying. 773, how much are left and right-wing politics starting to affect the Israel-Hamas war? If both sides have rhetoric calling for the extermination of the other, I don't see any resolution. Your thoughts on that, Tom?
Yeah, I guess that's something I've said to students, and I would say to your listeners as well. Take a deep breath and try to remember that Americans are not going to fix this. So before you alienate people, anger people, and throw more oil on the fire, try to listen, because I think what we're all lacking in these situations is a saying, truth's the first casualty in war. The second casualty is empathy, the inability to see things from the other point of view. And I think that's what we desperately need. And there's no question that, this is fueling and is fueled by the polarization of politics in the United States.
All right. Well, I'm I just feel like, how could this happen? 9/11 happened. I was shocked that that happened. The pandemic happened. I was shocked that that happened. You know, we're supposed to be getting better moving forward. And now this.
I hear you. I mean, I had, after January 6th, I had one of my students, when we were talking about it, said, you know, I'm only 18 and I've had more than enough once in a lifetime experiences. Thank you very much. You know, but the other thing, too, is go back. I mean, imagine what it was like to be living in 1942 when it looked like, I mean, the world was on the verge of collapse. We've been through worse. And I'm not trying to minimize the loss of life. I'm not trying to minimize the suffering. It's horrible. But on the other hand, we can get through this, you know, and it's going to take work, and it's going to take, like I said, empathy, understanding, and patience, all of which are in very short supply at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with this holiday season in full force, let's try to be kind to one another. And, you know, I'm talking about my peace sign sweatshirt. Let's be peaceful. Let's love one another. Come on, we are more alike than we are different.
Amen to that.
Yeah. All right, where can people find you? Because you're a really smart guy, and I love talking to you to make some sense out of this. Where do we find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Dr. Mikaitis, or you can just Google my last name on the Hill. I've written numerous editorials on this conflict and several others. You can buy my books on Amazon, but it would cost you a little more, and I'll forgive you if you don't. So.
And
the editorial versions are the Cliff Notes, so anyway.
Well, Mikaitis is spelled M-O-C-K-A-I-T-I-S. Tom Mikaitis, wishing you a happy holiday season. And when I say that, I am combining Christmas and New Year's. If you celebrate something different, that's up to you. Again, we just need to be patient and care about one another a little more. The golden rule, it needs to come back, does it not?
Oh, indeed. And it's at the core of all the world's great religions, no matter what people will tell you to the contrary.
Yeah.
So happy holidays to you as well.
Good to talk to you. The human Prozac, I need another dose. And we'll talk to you
I'll
again.
Do the best I can.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you so
Hopefully
much.
Hopefully not soon. All right.
Yes.
You take care.